Oh, I want to thank you for being here today. Anybody glad to be here today? Anybody glad to be in church today? Well, I got good news. We're going to turn it up a little bit in here. This is a big week. How many of y'all understand it's a big week? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this ought to be your biggest week of the year. You're going, wait a minute, I'm celebrating God's activity in my life. I'm celebrating God's opportunity in my life. And today, if you're here and you know what, you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, man, we got some good news. And all the both services, people have received Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I am absolutely thoroughly confident that the Holy Spirit's going to convince some of you that everything Jesus said he'd do in you. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So how many of y'all glad to know that God's still alive? He's still alive, still working. God's still doing some great things. And he's not going to let up on that, okay? He's not going to let up on that, all right? So if you don't mind, if you'll find somebody close to you and let them know this, Jesus is coming to town. You go ahead and let them know that. Come on, let them know quick. Oh, that's weak. This is 11 o'clock. This is the people to get loose. Let them know Jesus is coming to town. Hey, Jesus is coming to town. Jesus is coming to town. Let them know again, Jesus is coming to town. No, you let somebody know Jesus is coming to town. That's the way it would have sounded on this day. Jesus has made a decision to bring grace to everyone, to whosoever, to whosoever. There's been the last 15 or 20 years, we've had groups of preachers and they've wanted to figure out, I wonder who is predetermined to be saved. I will tell you who is predetermined to be saved. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. And Jesus Christ has turned and taken a first step to forever. First steps forever happen on Palm Sunday when Jesus comes to town. Now, we're going to talk today about first steps. How many of y'all realize if you can walk, it's because you took a first step? If you're in college, you didn't just go to college. You had to take a first step into kindergarten. Remember that? And your mom was crying. She was missing you, you know. Like, oh, my baby's gone to school. Hey, don't be too proud of yourself, because let me tell you what, that last step, when you walk out the door, parents are inside, when they close the door, we cry in front of y'all. Then when we close the door, we're like, ow! They are gone, hallelujah, amen. Some of y'all come back, y'all quit that, all right? I'm just, let it go on. Now watch this, it's a first step, so I won't talk about today. First steps. Some of you need to take the first step. You need to realize that you're a sinner. How many of y'all realize you're a sinner? Anybody here realize you're a sinner? If you don't mind, this is an interactive church. So go ahead. Now, don't punch anybody, but just look at them and say, sir, you a sinner. Tell me I am too. Say, so are you, pastor. All right, good. So are you, pastor. All right. Now, watch this. We're all sinners. Now y'all go, you go, Pastor Harris, why do you make us do that? I want to tell you what. Because all week long, you listen to liars. All week long, you listen to liars. And a lot of you bought into them. Well, just especially all my great young people here, I love y'all, but guess what? Y'all believe you're innately good. You're not innately good. I mean, you can't have a brain and believe you're innately. I mean, if you go into college and you believe you're innately good, you need to be educated. We are not innately good as human beings. I'll show you just some logic stuff. Now, for you college students, I want you to know this. Okay, this is still of high value. I know it's practiced little among the generation before you, but it's of high value. It's called logic. It still works, called reason and logic. And the Word of God even values reason and logic. Now, this is called true intellectualism, okay? True intellectualism doesn't do things like this. It doesn't try to tell you that you can spend what you don't have and come out blessed. See, that's not intellectualism. That is idiotism. You need to know the difference in the two, okay? Doesn't work. Now, there's some first steps to truth. You got to decide, did God create you? You say, Pastor, that's no big deal. I just believe that I evolved out of a platymorphic, morphic kind of state, and I continue to evolve. Well, if you continue to evolve, here's the problem with that. What are you going to evolve into? I tell you, I'm watching, a degenerate reprobate. Because you become inherently what we are, sinners in need of the grace of God. How many of y'all are a sinner in need of the grace of God? Well, me too. And I got great hope, man. I got good news today. This is just absolutely overwhelming news. Jesus decides to come to town. Let me brief you. In the Gospel of John, Jesus' friend, really, really close friend, Jesus gets a text. Just seeing if y'all are listening. And they text Jesus and they said, Jesus, your buddy Lazarus. And they were like bros, you know what I mean? It's not just Lazarus and Jesus, Sunday school student. No, they are brothers. I mean, they are there. It said, Lazarus is sick. His sisters, right? And then they called for Jesus, said, you need to come back. He's going to die if you don't come back. Jesus sends a word. If he dies, it'll be for my glory. Now, check this out. I'm going to blow y'all away. How many of you all, don't raise your hand. I just want you to think about this. You know that God has saved you. We just watched G Money Brown confess it. G Money Brown, guess what? You are in heaven with Jesus. Amen? You're located on earth, but your spirit and soul is headed to heaven with Jesus Christ. That's even better than money, isn't it? Now, I don't know about y'all, but I'm excited to be in a church where you baptize G Money. Pastor Pew, I have never got to baptize to G-Money. Now, I've baptized a lot that thought they was a G-Money, but you have baptized G-Money. And let me tell you what's so cool about it. God has saved G-Money just like he'll save anybody else in here today. Do y'all understand me? This is real, this is important, and I want you to get it. I love all of our young people here. Now, I want to warn y'all, I am not politically correct. And I am not even politically incorrect. I will tell you the truth. And here's the problem with the truth. It's going to put you in the right way, but it's going to upset you to get you there. The truth will put you in the right way, but it will upset you to get you there. How many of y'all realize that Jesus is willing to upset you to save you? Amen. Anybody cool with that? Jesus will upset me to what? Save me. Now, Jesus upsets everything. Well, Jesus is going to go to town. He's going to turn around, take a first step toward Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know this. When Jesus turns toward Jerusalem, he knows he's a dead man. Anybody know why Jesus is a dead man? It's not because Judas kissed him. Judas just joined the crowd. Jesus is a dead man. You know why? He sets people free. What did Jesus do to poor people? Come on, talk to me. Y'all can go to a sit and stare church anywhere in this county. Why do you think? And that meant they weren't what, John? They weren't poor anymore. Ah! You know what Jesus does? He don't give you a welfare check. He gives you a job. He doesn't hand you a fish. He helps you buy your own boat, buy you some nets so you can catch fish for everybody. Jesus will mess your life up. And where you think you're left out, he'll bring you in. And where you think you're put out, he'll take you beyond that into a place you thought you could never live. People hate your pastor. You know why they hate your pastor? I give people jobs. Get people off welfare. Get them away from the landlord so they can own their own house. Now, people hate that. You know why? You can't be controlled if you live like that. See, I'm going to give you all the truth. I don't want you to be controlled. I want you to live. Now, don't be upset about governments. All governments have one purpose. It doesn't matter if they're capitalist, if they're communist, if it's just if they're government. Here's what they want to do. Control you. So be careful with the crowds. Be careful with the promises. Adolf Hitler made a lot of wonderful promises in his era. Housing, food, medical care, social medicine for everybody. Is this sound familiar? Nero in Rome, let's go back 2,000 years ago. Bread for all the people. I'm just telling y'all something. There's nothing new under the sun. That's what I know you knew. You young folks think, man, this is brand new. It's old as the hills. It's old. It's called life without Jesus. It's called blessing on my own. It never has worked. If you don't believe me, ask the people that tried to swim in the day of Noah. How'd they do? Thank you, Tyler. Not very well. Right? Why? Because you see, they were swimming on their own. Now, how many of you all need to take a first step to say, you know what? I believe Jesus can do immeasurably more with me than I can do with myself. How many of y'all believe that? That's what grace is. I believe Jesus can do immeasurably more with me than I can do with myself. Jesus takes a step into Jerusalem. He's headed toward Jerusalem. Go with me to Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. He gets there to Jerusalem. Look at those pages. And he's got to head toward Jerusalem. Well, he does exactly what the Bible says he's going to do. How many of y'all kind of interested that Jesus did exactly what the prophet said he would do? And there's a reason for that, because God wants you to get that Jesus is the Son of God. He wants you to understand over and over again, there's no other Son of God. Okay? God did not have twins. There's Jesus, and then guess who there is? Jesus. And if you want to go to heaven, guess who there is? Somebody take a wild guess. And who else? And who else? Oh, y'all, hey, I'm ready for invitation. If y'all have come that far away, we've come a long way. Now, hold on, brother. What you just confessed will get you killed. It'll get you killed. People say, man, we ain't doing business with you, because I ain't doing business with people that follow Jesus. I'm not doing business with people that hold to Jesus' morality. I want you to hear what we've said today. I've evolved. Does evolving mean that you call sin, sin no longer? That's evolving? Or is that deception? Young people, listen, the devil trying to fry y'all's mind, telling you that every religion is the same. Really? Where is Buddha on the third day? See, before you say every religion is the same, you need to study all the religious systems and not just listen to what some jokester on TV tells you. Where is Buddha? Just checking. What about Muhammad, the great prophet, a prophet that's supposed to be even greater than Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Where is he on the third day? What about old Krishna, Vishnu, and all the multiple gods of Hinduism? Where are they on the third day? What about if you follow a preacher, you follow Steve Ayers on the third day, where will he be? You better listen to Jesus. You follow your mama on the third day, even though she's sweet and love you and told you was perfect all your life, she lied. On the third day, where would she be? You better watch what you follow, but you better know what's in here. What is in here is the God that will only stay dead 3 days. Now, we'll get to that next Sunday. I would be back. I would have a friend. If you really care about Easter, I'd have a friend that was as lost as an Easter egg next Sunday. How many of y'all got a friend that's lost as an Easter egg? How many of y'all got a friend that's so lost they remind you of those candy Easter eggs that are a year old? Not only they're lost, but they're hardened to the situation. Man, I would invite them to come with you. Say, listen, I want you to hear about the greatest thing that's happened to me in my life. And they go, well, are they going to make me believe? I can't make you believe, but I sure want you to hear. Don't you all want your friends to at least hear on how to have a new life? Yeah, I do too. I want to live this way, brother, that on the day of judgment, if I got any of my buddies that look over at me, I go, don't be looking over here. I told you all my life. And you wanted to be a fool? There it is.
Amen.
Because on the day of judgment, Bill Maher ain't going to be cute. Oprah ain't going to be rich. No president will be president. No congressman or congresswoman will have any power. And your money will mean nothing. Think about this. You're going to stand before God in his royalty on gold to be judged. You remember, I've told you this so you'll understand. A long time ago when we had a commodity built on substance. Now, only those of you that are a little older know what I'm talking about. It was called the gold standard. That meant if you had a dollar, you had to have that much gold backing it up. Now we have the words of politicians backing up our economy. What's so sad? Some of y'all are secure with that. You know why? You don't understand truth. So understand it this week. What we had as an economy standard, God has as blacktop. Our gold is his blacktop. So some of y'all going to walk up there and say, God, I'll tell you what I did in my life. I collected blacktop. They said I was rich, but I realized you paved the streets with the riches of this world. Somebody see how great God is now? Hold on. Listen to what I just told you. You paved the streets of heaven with what we call priceless. Now Jesus turns and he heads to do what God called him to do. How many of y'all need to make that decision this week? I need to wake up, straighten up, and just do what God called me to do. Does anybody need to make that decision? I need to wake up and straighten up and just do what? What God called me to do. Now look what he does. He gets his disciples together. When they came, look. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives. That's very significant. Jesus is there at the Mount of Olives. If you've ever been to Israel, and you will be one day, but until we get there, the Mount of Olives, you look across the valley and then there is Jerusalem, the city of Zion. And you always come out of the Mount of Olives, but you go up to the temple. And so there in the Mount of Olives, Jesus gets ready and he sends his disciples out. Let's look what he had to do. Jesus sends his disciples. Now I want to give you two rhythms for Holy Week. You got to step and you got to go. You got to step into what Jesus has made you to be. And then you got to go where Jesus tells you to go. Watch this. Even when it doesn't make sense to you. How many of you university students who like, I don't know why I'm at Western, but I'm here at Western. Any of y'all have that deal? It's not because it's a great bonus. It's cool, but somehow or another you pray, Lord, where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to go? Guess what? G-Money, you know why you came to Western? Get baptized. You think it's to play defensive. And I mean, you'll help out on defensive line, ain't no doubt about it. But God brought you here to told you that you're his G-Money. He wants you sealed in his grace. He wants you in the power of his resurrection. He wants you to play football, and after you finish, go do great and wonderful things. You okay with that? Tell me what happens to this nation when we get a lot of young men like that. Senator, what happens to the nation when it's filled of men that will not compromise? That's what turns it around. Now, women, y'all appreciate that. I bet a lot of y'all would love to go out with a man. And not a boy that sounds like your girlfriend. A man that can make a decision and go. Guess what? These disciples are men. They're crazy men. They're going where God told them, even though it doesn't feel good. Listen to this assignment. He said, go in. He said, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied. Untie it and bring it to me. You know what Jesus said? Go steal that dude's donkey and the colt. Go steal the donkey and the colt. Now, it's interesting, you got to understand, it's a brand new colt. Anybody know anything about horses, donkeys, anything like that? Donkeys, okay? And it's a donkey because let's look what he said. The psalm is being fulfilled. You ready? He said, oh, daughter of what? Let's look at the next part of that scripture. Oh, daughter of Zion. Oh, daughter of Zion. You ready? I'm going to find my tablet. Where did I got to make sure I quote it right? Hey, sound guys, move up. Computer guys, move to the next scripture. There we go. Look at here. If anyone says anything, guess what you should do? You should say, the Lord needs them. And they'll send them. Guess what? These guys are going in the name of the Lord to pick up what God needs so he can go. You understand the rhythm? Now, don't go to the car lot today and say, the Lord hath need of that ride right there. Because guess what they're going to do? Verify that you come in the name of the Lord. Huh? You say, well, I am in the need of a new ride. Let me tell you how you get a new ride. You get a new job. Well, for some of you, you get a job. He who does not have ride, who does not have job, need not a ride. That's King James prophecy there. He who steps to go will continue to go. True or false? I want you to see how real this is. Disciples go do exactly like Jesus said. They fulfill the prophecy. How many of you are glad to know that Jesus is verified in history? Long before Jesus did this, guess what? Long before Jesus did this, here he comes. And here's what he says. O daughter of Zion. Elizabeth, where are you? Oh, she's not even here. That's not Elizabeth, not daughter of Zion. There we go. My tablet locked up, and I thought I was going to have a technical difficulty. Say to the daughter of Zion, that's Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the fold of a donkey. Now, you got to know something about horses. Anybody ever ridden a brand new colt before? An unbroken colt? Who's the only person that could ride that? Jesus. Why? He made the colt. You got it. That created creation will listen to. Pretty neat, isn't it? He made the what? Colt. Dr. Ward, who works for hospice, who was my guidance counselor in high school, attends Hillview Heights Church. He attended last service. He was really neat. He came to me and he said, remind the folks, he said, I did this when I was young. He said, I was over in Israel, and they had a brand new colt. And he said, you know, I'm 19, I'm strapping, I've ridden some horses in my life. And he said, you know, they gave a challenge because they were teaching this scripture, what it means to ride this brand new colt, that only Jesus could function on a brand new colt. And he said, I got on a brand new colt, and the brand new colt got me off pretty quick. So think about it. I mean, here's Jesus. He says, you know what? Now think about this. This symbol in this. I will tame what is untamed. What's untamed in us? Sin. Nature of sin. Jesus comes riding in. Now I want to warn you guys something. I love you. Listen to me. I love you guys so much. Please don't be led astray. What will lead you astray? The crowd. Here they come. Jesus coming into town. The King of Kings coming into town. Gentle and riding on a what? Donkey. How many of y'all understand? Jesus came into town gentle. He will come back into town victorious. Some of y'all have been to Bible study real well. Is he riding a donkey second time in? Somebody better hear what I'm fixing to say. On the second time in, he is not riding a donkey. Anybody know what he's riding? Oh, good. White horse. Anybody know most likely what a white horse would be? A stallion. Not a Harley Davidson, but that'd be a good deal. Right? I like it. I love 11 o'clock. I said that one time, but I really, yeah, think about these horses. An Arabian stallion. Y'all ever seen an Arabian stallion? I got to see one time, and it's a horse of absolute majesty, power. And it really is. Even if you don't like horses, it'll take your breath. You'll be, whoa. It stands. It's like a thoroughbred. You know, it stands with strength and victory. You know what that horse symbolizes? For the ancient world, they know what it symbolizes. That white horse is what the king would ride back on when victory was proclaimed over. When Jesus returns, he's proclaiming victory. So I want you to hear me clearly. You better get in now before you hear the whimper of the white horse. Because the whimper of the white horse, guess what? Bill Maher ain't going to be real funny standing before Jesus. He's going to go, oh, you think I'm a mythological character? Well, let me just send your little rear end to mythological hell. Have a good time, Billiam. Maybe you can close your eyes and pretend that you don't exist there, and that'll make it go away. Doubt that'll happen. Come here, Oprah. Where are all the other gods that you taught everybody about? They seem to be missing. Now you'll have to deal with me. That old God that old preacher in your youth before you made all that money talked about. The one that was crucified and resurrected. As you notice, there are no others. I bet that won't be such a delightful day. But Lord, I gave grand prix to poor people. That's not the gospel. That's humans being good to each other temporarily. The gospel is much stronger than that. The gospel is an almighty God coming riding on a donkey in the crowd. Oh, they love the crowd moment. But they will all run from the cross moment. What are they doing? Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in what? Oh, there they go. They call it Palm Sunday. They laid down their cloaks, the scripture said. They picked up their palm branches and the crowd was mesmerized. How many of y'all have ever seen mesmerized crowd? Oh, Monday was a big crowd. C-A-T-S. Cats, cats, cats. Go big blue. Go big blue. Hey, I had my blue on Monday. Listen, once the University of Kentucky decided to pay for my daughter's education, guess what I said? C-A-T-S. Cats, cats, cats. Hey, I'm not a fool. Now, I hadn't called in the show yet and gone, have y'all ever heard that show, Kaywood Leffert Show? They'd call in the Big Blue Network. You need to just listen. It's pure entertainment. And if you're not from Kentucky, it is a Kentucky show. You know, they'll call in and go, hey, it's Bill Marty over here at Pumpkin Bluff, Kentucky. I just want to know, we're going to play the big boy, Carlos Fine. We're going to play him. No, he's hurt. Well, go Big Blue. This year we're going to have a football team. We ever had a football team? No, but I'll tell you what, go Big Blue. That's all you say, just go Big Blue. I mean, when they hear the whimper of the horse, they'll all be going, go Big Blue. No, that's Big White up there, all right? The white horse, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I want to warn you, be careful of crowds. Here's the major flaw of democracy. The crowd is not always correct. It's a major flaw of democracy. 51% of the people can be absolutely wrong. And just because 51% of the people decide to go the wrong direction, that does not make that direction right. That's the trouble with democracy. I hate to disappoint you, especially all you political science majors. There is no pure form of government other than this one. What?
Well, God just pulled up to me, saw me walking down through my Bible, and he pulled up to me, he was crying, and he was all in the car. His son had been run over. His name is Stephen Paul Johnson, and he's either in the trauma unit.
Well, let's pray right now. Lord Jesus, there's a young man that's been hit as we've had church today. We pray that his life be spared. We pray that in the trauma unit, that all the nurses and doctors and all the talented people you have there will be your healing hand, Lord, and you would just invade with that and you would just heal them in the name of Jesus. Amen? I say we need to pray when it happens. What do you think? So Jesus is coming to town. The crowd's all tore up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of y'all have ever heard a crowd get all worked up? Anybody seen a crowd get worked up? There's all kinds of crowds that work up. Sports crowds get worked up. Political crowds get worked up. Oh, y'all remember when Senator Obama, before he was President Obama, what was going to happen if he became president? Everything. Before George Bush got pregnant. Boy, there'll be a tabloid. President Bush, pregnant. Before he got elected, there were all kinds of promises, right? Listen, I don't want you to pick on any president. Here's why. None of them can do what their campaign majors say they can do. None of them. Never has happened. Never will happen. George Washington. I don't know if he chopped down a cherry tree or not. But that's the story. And he's sticking to it. It's not about that. But now here's what amazed me. You ought to be careful, those of you who follow Jesus Christ. Now listen, I expect the world to chase false messiahs. I don't expect those who believe to. I don't expect those who believe to. It's nothing new. The Nero would throw out bread to the commoners in the Colosseum of Rome so they'd be happy for a moment. And they would swoo and woo and faint and be delighted that the Caesar had blessed their lives. He also would burn them at the stake with no problem. He also controlled or attempted to control their existence. And then there's a guy named Jesus that interrupts all of that. It's amazing how people who follow Jesus realize, guess what? He's going to be who he is. He's going to become who he is. He's going to do what he says he's going to do, no matter what any crowd says. Jesus walks in. Oh, they're singing the blessings, but then Jesus walks on in. And after he walks on in, guess where he ends up? We're going to end there today. Guess where he ends up? The temple. If Jesus came to Hillview, I wonder what he would do. I wonder what he would see. I wonder what he's heard today. He came to the temple, and look, verse 12, Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all those who were buying and selling there. I just want you to know that the faith is not about buying and selling. It's about receiving and living. What's hard for us to understand, because we're Americans and we think the whole world's made of what?
Money.
That's what we think it is. Watch this. I'll blow y'all away. We'll blow y'all away. Did you realize billions of people, almost 6 billion people, get up every morning and go to work whether their back hurts or not? You know why? They don't have disability. They don't have welfare. They don't have rights. They don't have equality measures. They don't have earlobe disease. They don't have a lot of the diseases that we have. You see, because if you are attention deficit, you become healed when you get real hungry. Your back doesn't hurt too bad to pick up stuff if it means you don't. This is, hold on. Billions of people wake up every morning and live like that every morning. And guess what? Our Jesus, who came to Jerusalem, Hosanna, Hosanna, died for them also. And lives in them also. You know how a lot of them get up? They get up in the name of Jesus. They take a step in the name of Jesus. And they say, Jesus, even though I hurt, I know you're going to make a way. And he makes a way, and they're eating, they're fed. And many of them are much happier than us. I've been in other countries, and they're not taking a handful of antidepressants to make it through the day. Number one, they can't afford them. And number two, they don't have enough time in their lives to sit around and analyze all their problems. This culture is only one of the few places that you analyze yourself. Guess what everybody else does? Work! Live! Raise the kids! Do life! We're one of the few cultures that's got enough time to contemplate. Don't worry, your generation, you'll eventually understand what I'm talking about, because you're not going to have any time to contemplate. I would get with Jesus, amen? And I would stay with Jesus. True? Let's look what happens here. He drives out the money changers. You know what they were doing? They were ripping people off. Can you imagine that the industrial banking system of this day of Jesus, 2,000 years ago, would actually be cooking the books? Can you all imagine in the honesty, integrity world of finances that we have in our culture, that there would be human beings cooking the books? Aren't y'all glad we don't have anybody cooking the books today? Aren't you glad everything's on the up and up? If you believe that, we do provide drug rehab on a weekly basis. Because you're losing them. Now, here's what I want you to know. Don't be surprised. You know how long people have been corrupt? Since we ate off the wrong tree. You know when we'll be made right? When the white horse returns. In between there, we got to decide who we going to follow, the Christ or the crowd. Here's the problem with the crowd. It never celebrates the same message. The thing about Jesus, he stays on the same message. He stays on the same message. And guess what? He gets rid of the money changers. He's upset that people would take advantage of others. And guess what he does? He said, it's written. He said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. May we never make Hillview a den of robbers. It's about people being blessed in Christ. Now, I want you to know verse 14. We're going to stop here because it launches the Holy Week. He, Jesus, when he hit the courts where the common people were, the blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he, guess what he did? No, tell me what he did. Why? Anybody know why? Anybody know why? Come on, let's give some ideas. Why? They were blind and lame. They couldn't heal themselves. It's a great idea. Has anybody else got an idea of the Robert? Huh? The glory of God. Huh? His compassion. Good. You know what my leading reason is? He can. He can. He healed the blind and he healed the lame. Guess what? Some of y'all ought to be grateful today. I'm grateful that I can see and walk. I can see what Jesus has done. And because of his grace and mercy, let me reiterate this. Only because of his grace and mercy, I can walk where he's going. Never forget this crowd and be careful with crowds. Young people, I love y'all, but let me tell you what, crowds are crazy. I know none of y'all have ever been in a spring break crowd, but I've seen it. And sometimes I've been in one. And sometimes in a spring break crowd, you can forget that Jesus walked into Jerusalem. Because it doesn't look like he's ever been to Panama City. Michael, I know you've never been in that situation, but I'm going to tell you, I've been. Guess what? When I was in college, I went on spring break. And I had to pray for a year after going on a week of spring break. I was guilty. Because guess what? I wish I could tell you that I went there and did beach reach. Yeah, I did some beach reach. Here's the problem. I didn't reach the beach. The beach reached me. And I had to come back, apologize to Elizabeth and repent to Jesus, to Elizabeth. I didn't tell my mother yet, but I think she knows. Do you know what Jesus did? He forgave. He reestablished. He put me back together. He said, come on, we got to get on with it. Got to live. So here's the thing for Holy Week. I hope you can be here. I know that you all are at West Kentucky University. I know they have classes. I know this is week. But guess what? I would make sure as a believer this is a significant week. We do have a noonday Good Friday service here. We have a noonday Bible study. If you need to be here and you attend school and public schools and you want to be here, I will be glad to sign your note as your pastor that you were worshiping your God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on Good Friday, and that's why you had to be absent from school. If you get any blowback, that will not be a good situation for our school system here. Because if you were a Muslim, you would be allowed to be out on Ramadan. You're not a Muslim, and this is our big day. And so, here's the thing. There better not be one word said about those who follow Christ celebrating their God. Watch this. Have y'all ever heard me protest Ramadan? I don't care what other people do in faith. Go do your thing. I'm kind of like Elijah. Dance a little louder. Twist and shout some more. I believe our God holds the fire. So I don't get alarmed at other gods. Now my question is, why does everybody get upset about Jesus? If he's not real, why is everybody so fired up? I have never had two fairy protests. That's all I'm going to say about that. We got kids here. Why do we protest Jesus so hard? You want to know why? Because when he comes to town, the blind, guess what they do? And the lame, guess what they start doing? And that just ticks people off that want to control other people. Because, you know, people like blind people. You know why? They're real easy to lead. You can take them where you want them to go. Lame people, they like them because they feel like they're the ones that make them walk. But when God heals you, you can walk his way and you can see his way. And my prayer is that we begin to see the ways of Jesus. And then, Michael, after we see him, guess what we got to do? Walk in the ways of Jesus. I do not think it is coincidental that Jesus immediately straightens the money up and then gives new eyes and a new way of walking to the people when he comes to town. Maybe we need some new eyes. And we need to ask Jesus for grace and mercy legs that walk in his way. Amen. And we need to quit depending on money and start trusting Jesus. What do you think? It's real. Promise to be back tonight. Please come back tonight, 6:30. We're in Holy Week celebration. We're going to rock the house in here. If you love worship music and you love worship music with the full choir, and I mean it's going to be extreme in here, please come. We're going to start at 6:30. Come about 15 minutes before it starts. That's unusual for Hillview, but this is an unusual week. Jesus coming to town. And so let me ask you a question. Literally, if we had Jesus showing up tonight, okay, risen Son of God, in full resurrected body, how many of y'all would be back? Or would you say, man, I missed it. I had to watch, I don't even know what's on Sunday night. What's on Sunday night? Man, give me a show. 60 Minutes. Oh, my gosh. 60 Minutes. So you can stay home and watch a bunch of liars, or you can come hear the true Son of God. Hey, listen, I'll call it out in the name of Jesus. All news is today is one liar after another liar. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. It's time somebody call it out. It's time somebody call it out. I said, Pastor Harris, what if somebody shoots you? I'll die, depending on what kind of shot they are. However, if they're going to shoot me, they need to be a good shot. Because I might shoot back. And I'd read the paper, wouldn't it? Six-shooter pastor kills five on Sunday. One lives on. Bet there'd be some people here next Sunday. I think there's going to be some people next Sunday because guess what? People want to know if Jesus is real. I believe him to be real. What about you guys? Is that popular? No. Do the majority of people in America believe Jesus is the Son of God? No. Do the majority of people wonder? Yeah. So you and I got to live it out. You say, is it going to be worth it? I promise you, when you see the white horse, it'll all make sense. Until then, trust who? Yeah. Who saves you? Who came to town? 3 days later, what happened to him? That's why I follow him, amen? I like a God. Listen, he's the only God I know that's rented a tomb. Y'all do that. Y'all go over there to Kirby and say, what do you charge for 3 days? I want to know what, hey, will y'all do that? Y'all do that for me. Anything I can do to unnerve Kevin Kirby, I believe it's of God to do that. And so I just want you to ask him this week when we see him, say, hey, Kirby, our pastor was wondering how much you charge 3 days rent over there at the Gardens. How many of you all this week, if Pastor Jamie had walked over to the Bowling Green Gardens and looked at one of his buddies' graves over there and said, in the name of Jesus, come forth. And I mean a coffin just popped out, opened up, and the guy walked out. Do you all think that would make news here in Bowling Green? Wonder what news it'd be. I bet there would be a concerted effort if it was done in the name of Jesus to make sure nobody knows. Oh, he... He'd been in there for 20 years, but he just got resuscitated. Jesus is alive. He's not resuscitated. He's living. He's living in here. I see him in many of you. But here's what breaks my heart. I don't see him in all of you. I'm just going to tell you. I want every one of you in the name of Jesus to be saved. You're my friends. I love you. I don't want anybody in this room to go to hell. Young people, I get scared all the time. There's just so many stinking. I mean, I really love your all's generation. I mean, Elizabeth and I got two that look like you guys. Our own. We got to have two of your all's generation. Didn't we, Elizabeth? We didn't want our kids to go to hell. You know how thankful I am as a parent? Your mom and dads will be thankful. I am thankful that both my children are saved. They believe in the cross and resurrection, and they won't move from that position. They won't move from that position. Have they been challenged? Absolutely. I mean, they've heard things all their life. They overhear, your father's an idiot. My daughter said, yes, and next. I overheard her one time. She said, "He is crazy." But she said, "Let me tell you what, he's one crazy man saved by the blood of Jesus and risen by the power of the Holy Spirit." And that's where we got to live. So what's this? Do I expect the politicians of today to agree with me? Absolutely not. Those little guys, all they want to do is be reelected. One day they're going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day, leaders of our nation who have absolutely gone 180 degrees against what the Word of God has said are going to look Jesus Christ right in the eye, and I believe Jesus is going to go ahead and run that bull by me. Well, Lord, you need to understand where I was. I need to get reelected. He goes, "You fixing to be reelected? You fixing to be refried?" Because I meant what I said. Now, you know what's so hard? More of you are mad that there's a consequence than appreciative that there is grace. Receive Jesus. You don't go to hell. Don't tell me God's not a love. This would have been an unloving God. Y'all on your own. That's an unloving God. But you know what a loving, merciful God said? In spite of who you are, I want to be with you. I'm still amazed by that. Amen. Well, we're done. How many of y'all need to see and walk better? Western Kentucky University students, listen, it's 40 minutes. It'll be a miracle this week, I promise. It only happens on Holy Week. The rest of the year at church, it never happens. That's short. 40 to 45-minute sermons. The services are done in 40 minutes. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday is silent because it needs to be silent. Do not, in the name of Jesus, ask me about an Easter egg hunt. Because I will go absolutely berserk crazy. I have read the story of Easter over and over again. I can't find a daggum bunny anywhere. Or eggs. Can't find a Christmas tree. That's why you never hear me talk about Christmas trees at Christmas. You hear me talk about the birth of an everlasting Savior. We got to get on our jazz. Make sense? Saturday, if we were the original disciples, we couldn't have moved. The guy who led us is dead. And we're trusting a message that he'll rise again. Guess what? We just like the original disciples. Jesus saves. And now I'm waiting for him to come again. How many of y'all believe he's going to? Amen. But when he does, guess what? He looks at Hillview people and he says, "Do you know Jesus Christ? Do you know me?" Guess what? I hope every one of you say, "Absolutely. We've heard about the cross and the resurrection, the blood of the Lamb. 3 days later, you being alive and you the only way to heaven." I promise you, if any of y'all look at me, yon yon. You look over at me and say, "Turn your big head right back over. You sat there Sunday after Sunday and heard how to go to heaven, but no, you want to do it your way? There it is. Tell him about your great way. Show him those PhDs that you have and see if he's impressed. Whip out your American Express and see how much that's worth. Tell him how you were a great grand poobah of whatever organization you were of and see how that works." Pastor Ed, you got the heat on today. Mm-hmm. Because I tell you what, time draws nigh. And forever will only be with Jesus. Let's get it real. Amen. There are going to be people be saved right now, so I want you to respectfully do something. I believe you can wait 10 minutes to get a hamburger. So I want you to chill out and pray for people that need to know Jesus. If you claim to be a believer, and you can't have a concern for other people to be saved, then I wonder what you really believe in. You may just be a Baptist. That won't get you very far. Or a Methodist, or a Catholic, or a non-denominational that is a denomination, or a whatever label you have gotten from mankind. But to be a follower of Jesus Christ means, guess what? You want what he wants. He wants everybody in here to be saved. And after all y'all get saved, guess what he wants? He wants you to go tell everybody else. Now, you can get mad at me and send me emails. I'll read some of them. Delete most of them. I'm getting old now. I have found truth in life. Listen to idiots less and live fuller. It's a good parable. Just before you get too upset, I don't care what I think, so where does that put me with what you think? But I do care what Jesus said. Guess what he said? Ma'am, he said you and I could be saved. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? He said, Steve Ayers, in spite of you being an absolute sinner, you're going to be one of my children. Klein, I haven't gotten over that yet. Jesus is going to let me and you in. And you and I know what each other's done a little bit. And Jesus is going to let us in heaven. Guess who's in heaven? Yeah. And perfect people. And we get to go by the grace of Jesus. Well, let's stand together. Some of y'all got to make some steps. I want us to begin to pray. University students, I want to teach y'all. Many of y'all are madly in love with Jesus. And one of the ways to be madly in love with Jesus is begin to get this covenant inside your head and your heart. We don't want anybody in our generation to go to hell. That means we're going to respectively and lovingly tell the truth. And when they push back on us, we're going to respectively, lovingly tell the truth. We're not going to yell at people. Y'all want to get radical? Be for real. You really want to be radical? This is radical. Live a life like Jesus told you to. You know what gains more attention in this day? Don't be divorced. Live out your faith. Y'all want to be radical in your generation? This is radical in y'all's generation. A job. Yeah, go to work. Jesus said go to work. He said accomplish. He said make it happen. If you're in some spiritual hoo-hoo group that says you need to just sit around, contemplate, and pray and not do what God tells you to do, I encourage you to read a radical book that came out. It's called The Bible. And in the New Testament, you will see the followers of Jesus had a J-O-B. And they put the Word of God in motion to the world. Amen? Let's get focused on coming to life. People are going to get saved right now. Jesus is drawing you to salvation. I want you to listen. I want you to hear. This is the greatest thing that's going to happen. You saw great witnesses today. From a defensive tackle to a young boy. Same Jesus saved both of them. One named Eli and the other one named G. Money Brown. And God loves them both the same. They head the same place. You ready? Let's pray. Lord, right now you're saving souls. You've been doing it since they got here. Some of them came here just for this moment today. Listen, just tell him, Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Some of y'all need to say that to God right now. Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of my sin. That changes everything. Now look at me. Some of you have already done that. You did it this week. You did it last week. You were in your bedroom when Jesus spoke to you and you asked him to come to your life. Now make it public. Watch this. Jesus Christ is not ashamed. He's not ashamed of you. What do you think about that? So don't be ashamed of him. I follow Jesus. Is everybody like that? No. But I follow Jesus. I drive a Ford. Does everybody like that? No. But I drive a Ford. It's not about what everybody else likes. Some of you need to take this step. You've asked Christ to forgive you. You know he's forgiven you. Now you need to be obedient to baptism. Why is baptism important? It is an act of obedience toward Christ. It's untying the colt and bringing them to Jesus. It's doing what Jesus asked you to do. You say, well, I don't feel like it. I want to say this loving and respectfully in the name of Jesus. Have ears that can hear. God does not ask you what you feel like. You're not in charge. God is in charge. That's one reason a lot of you don't get saved. You want to be charged. You want a salvation. You got to say, God, I want you to be in charge. Next week would be a great time to be baptized. Pastor Tooley, some of these guys, some of my buddies out here, they'll forget when they're baptized. They've forgotten their birthday. They've forgotten their wife's birthday. They know when a couple of their kids have birthdays. What a great day to get baptized on Easter. Now, it won't be the same date, but at least you'll know when it happened. You say, I got baptized at Easter. I confessed Jesus' power in my life on Easter. So I'm going to ask you to come forth. I'm going to ask you to come back tonight in worship. I pray that this whole place is full. I pray that tonight it gets so full in here and so crazy in here and so full of spirit that everybody in this city is going to go, man, I wonder what Jesus is up to. He's up to saving people. Pray with me one more time. We're going to come to this altar. Lord, those who need to be baptized, I ask in the name of Jesus, you bring them forward today. Lord, those who need to be saved, bring them forward today in the name of Jesus. Those who need to be reminded of how many years you have strengthened them, may they be reminded. Lord, those who feel unloved right now in the name of Jesus, may they feel loved. Those who feel left out, may they be brought in. Those who are smug and arrogant and religiously arrogant, may they be humbled to see you, a God that did not ride in a limo, but on a donkey. Remind them, Jesus, you are Jesus. And you love everybody in this room. Amen. Pray that those who need to be saved will be saved. Those who need to be baptized, be baptized. We're going to take a few minutes to come. If you know that's you, come on right now. We want to talk to you. We want to love on you. We want to get you information. We know only Jesus can save you. But we know he saved some today. Amen. So come and let's talk about that. And let's just let God have his way. Hey, by the way, you're at Hillview. We have no guest. This altar is for whosoever, so you're qualified. If you need prayers of healing, we've talked about that today. We at Hillview, we believe the Word of God at the Word of God. We believe that you pray over those who are sick. And guess what? We're supposed to pray over them. Sometimes they get healed. But we know this, we're supposed to pray over you if you're sick. So whatever you need, the altar's open right now. Right now, it's a free altar. You can come without any repercussions other than grace and mercy in your life. So come on and let God touch you. Come on. Let's pray. Let's come. Let's encourage. Come on. The Holy Spirit's here today. Let him have his way. Let him have his way.